You're tuned to 89.1 GLT and WGLT.org, Bloomington Normal's public media. I'm Laura Kennedy with this GLT Datebook. It's the most wonderful time of the year to get scared out of your socks. And one way to do that is to check out the latest book from Central Illinois author Sylvia Schultz. The Spirits of Christmas, The Dark Side of the Holidays, reveals strange and scary tales for a long winter's night. Schultz says she had a blast researching and uncovering the various tales in the book, many of which harken back to the Victorian era and beyond.
And I pitched it to my publisher once I had gotten a dozen stories or so and realized there was something there. And he said, oh, that's right, you could do this and this and this. Hey, wait a minute, why am I not doing this book? Just kidding. I think you should do it. I think you'll do a great job at it. So I ended up with over 120 stories in it.
Wow. So, Sylvia, why are ghost stories, particularly at Christmas time, so popular? Can we blame that on Dickens and A Christmas Carol or what?
We certainly can. The popularity of Dickens' The Christmas Carol is just a faint shadow of how insanely popular these stories were for the Victorians. Even before the Victorian age, Christmas was seen as the spookiest time of the year. Forget Halloween. I mean, it's Christmas. You've got long, dark nights. You've got little daylight, and they're the longest nights of the year. And everybody knows, in the dark, that's when the monsters come out. But it was the Victorians who took this and really ran with it. And Dickens is just one example. The Christmas story anthologies that the Victorians put together, they read like an AP English reading list. I mean, you've got Dickens, you've got M.R. James, you've got Arthur Conan Doyle. Doyle actually introduced the character of Sherlock Holmes in one of these Christmas stories for these anthologies that came out.
So, Sylvia, tell me about a story that you uncovered that really surprised you, that you didn't know was out there.
One of my all-time favorites is the ghost story of the naked chicken.
I'm sorry, the naked chicken?
The naked chicken.
Okay, all right. What?
This absolutely delighted me. In December of 1943, there was an airman home in London on his leave, and he was crossing Pond Square in London, and he heard carriage wheels on cobblestones. And he thought to himself, well, that's kind of weird. And then he heard something that was even more incongruous for a square in London in 1943. He heard the indignant squawking of a chicken. And he looked to where the sound was coming from, and he saw an absolutely plucked, naked chicken running around, and it ran around in circles for a few moments and then vanished through a wall. This chicken has been appearing in this Pond Square in London for centuries. The way it started was in April of 1626, Sir Francis Bacon was taking a carriage ride with a friend of his. Bacon looked out of the carriage, and he noticed that the wheels of the carriage were picking up clumps of snow, and underneath the clumps of snow, the grass was still green. And he thought, hey, wow, you know, let's see if we can utilize this for food preservation. I bet if we froze something really quickly, then it would keep longer. And his friend's like, oh, no, I call shenanigans on this. That's never going to work. But Sir Francis Bacon was so intent on proving this theory that he had just come up with that he had the carriage stopped, ran to the nearest house, and said, do you keep chickens? And the woman said yes. So he bought a chicken, killed it, plucked it, yeah, eviscerated it, and stuffed it full of snow. And a few days later, he brushed the snow off of it, and it was perfectly fine to eat. And he said, hey, this is wonderful. Unfortunately, Sir Francis Bacon did not get to enjoy this discovery that he had made. He shared it with the world, but he didn't get to enjoy it for very long, because as he hopped out of the carriage and ran through the snow looking for a chicken to pluck, he contracted pneumonia, and he died April 9th, just a few days after he discovered this wonderful thing.
So maybe the chicken got its revenge after all.
Exactly. The chicken has had its revenge for all these 300 years.
You know, growing up, I had never heard the stories about Krampus. And suddenly now Krampus is everywhere. There's even been a major motion picture about Krampus. Is Krampus in your book?
Oh, absolutely he is. He is the grand old man of Christmas monsters, but I found several more, too. I found that the Kalakansaroi are Greek demons, and they spend all year in hell hacking away at the roots of the world tree that holds the world up and keeps the universe together. So basically, the Kalakansaroi spend all year trying to destroy the universe, but they are allowed up onto the surface every day, every year, between the 12 days of Christmas, so between Christmas Eve and January 6th, Epiphany. So they get to run around on the surface and cause all sorts of havoc and try to kill people. And in that time, the roots of the world tree heal. So when they're chased back down to hell, they have to start all over again. But while the Kalakansaroi are on the surface, they're running around trying to make all sorts of mischief for humans. But there are ways to combat these Christmas demons. One of the ways is to, if you know a Kalakansaroi is around, you can drive him away by building a fire and throwing your old stinky shoes on the fire. Because the smell of the burning leather and the burning shoe funk reminds the Kalakansaroi of hell. So they leave. They don't want to be anywhere near that because they're in hell all year. So they don't want to have anything to do with that. So that's a good way to drive a Kalakansaros away. And if you think a Kalakansaros is trying to get into your house, all you need to do is put a colander on your front porch. Now, all demons are OCD. They see something that there's a lot of, they have to stop and count them.
So they try to. I had no idea.
Oh, absolutely, yes. And they stop and they try to count the holes in the colander. But the thing is about Kalakansaros is because they're demons, three is a holy number, the number of the Trinity, and they can't count past three because if they pronounce the number three, they'll explode.
Oh.
Right. The highest number a Kalakansaros can get to is two. So they spend all night trying to count the holes in these colanders, and they completely are distracted and they completely forget that they were on their way into your house to kill you.
Sylvia, in your book, you also look at strange and scary Christmas traditions. What are some of your favorites?
One of the weirdest was something called the Wren Boys, W-R-E-N,
like the bird. Okay.
Yes. The wren is the smallest bird that is native to Europe, and to kill one was considered just the most despicable act. I mean, these cute little birdies, if you kill one, you're just low. You're just a jerk. But somehow Europeans got into the habit of killing wrens at Christmas. And they would put them in a highly decorated box. This box would be decorated with ribbons and flowers and roses, and there'd be a dead bird inside. And the Wren Boys, I told you this is bizarre. The Wren Boys would carry this box around and, you know, go from house to house singing Christmas carols and displaying this dead bird. And after a couple centuries of this, they decided, well, you know, it would be more sporting to make a glass box and capture the wrens alive and put them into the glass box for people to look at as you carried it from house to house, still decorated with the ribbons and whatnot. And that was a lot more sporting, and, you know, the bird gets to live. And after they did that for several decades, then the entire practice died out. But the Wren Boys, weird.
That's Sylvia Schultz, author of The Spirits of Christmas, The Dark Side of the Holidays, just released from Whitechapel Productions. I'm Laura Kennedy.